When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like to apologize
for what?
To absolutely no one.
The two-time champ does absolutely.
All right, we're rolling.
What episode is this? Is this the first one or the second one?
First, let's make it the first one.
What number of episode is this?
218.
Main Champ Podcast episode 218. I am him. The real is back. The real is back. I have to tell you guys every week, but I'm going to keep doing it. I am him, Hemi Neutron in the flesh.
217. Sorry.
What's he trying to do to me?
My bad. I'm sorry.
Anyway, where was I at? Oh, nah, I've lost my train of thought. Dancing DK, watch your back. Best member of the DSS.
Dancing down bad.
Yeah, he's down bad. Oh, fuck me. We have a very special guest in the building.
Come on.
Had to be done. It's only right. Jamie, this is your opportunity to introduce yourself to the people. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no, say nothing. Yeah, I'm Jamie. I do music, producing, directing, acting. And I grew up in Hackney, to be fair.
Love that. And then I'm going to pass it to the lad. Introduce yourself.
This mic is terrible. Cole Sanusi, Don Corleone in the building, the one and only. A.K.A. L.O. Coolins, A.K.A. C-Note, A.K.A. Hollywood Cole. We here, man. Coming for your left ear, your right ear, surround sound, smart speakers, portable speakers, you name it, we dare. Episode 217. Let's get it.
What's going on, people? It's Iman G45.
What's wrong, bro?
No, because she's laughing at the fact of my voice.
we got Abby in the building, by the way.
Yeah, Abby's in the background.
It's all good.
I'm just happy to be here right now. So enough with the long intro, just get straight into it.
I guess the best place to start is with you, Jamie. Talk us through your journey and just how you got to where you're at. I mean, very interesting life that you've led, but you've also managed to overcome a lot.
And
that's why we wanted to get you on, just to talk through that, give you a space to tell the people what you've got going on and what you've got coming up, etc. So
how far back do you want to go, though?
Let's go back. Let's take it as far back as, you know, when your story properly starts, you know?
Yeah. Okay, say nine. Yeah. So basically, obviously, I grew up in it, in Care, in Hackney still, with a Jamaican foster family. Obviously, it wasn't like the best situation to be in. I was there for a long time. Do you know what I'm saying? Had a lot of struggles in it, trying to work out who I was as a person, obviously, because I'm half Indian, half English. And being put with a Caribbean family, obviously, it was nice, but it wasn't the best situation. Plus, they weren't very good people, you know what I'm saying? So, obviously, that was like a struggle for man. And then from there, I was there for like 12 years when I was a kid growing up.
So you were the same family for 12 years?
Yeah, from the age of 3 until like 12, 13. So I was a bit confused about who I was because obviously they were Jamaican. Do you know what I'm saying? So I was there for a while. And like I said, they weren't the best people. Like they were like bullying, like, you know, like proper religious, all of that. So I was there until I was like 13. Then from there, I got put in like children's homes, foster homes, things like that. Do you know what I'm saying? That's how my journey started. And then obviously I went to prison. I was in prison for like, the first time I was in there for 3 years. Then I got 5 years. from like 99 to 2004, something like that, 2005. Mm. Yeah, and then in prison, I just got bullied by the staff. There was a film made about it because they used to make us fight each other and put bets on us.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Like, it was called Gladiator Games. You can Google search
it. What?
Yeah.
Like, it was on Channel 4 or something?
No, just... no. Literally, basically, the situation was called Gladiator Games, where they used to, like, put you in, like, a, you know, like a little arena thing in the gym. And then they'll put bets on who's going to win, make you fight each other. Put a weak prisoner in there with, like, a strong prisoner saying they know he's going to get beat up. And yeah, that was that. And then one of my friends got killed in there by a racist prisoner. And that's what highlighted the whole situation.
Yeah.
Then I had to give evidence against the prison system. I got denied parole because of that. Because I gave
Evidence against them?
Yeah, because I gave evidence against the prison officers. I had to go to court and all of that. At first, I wasn't interested in doing it. But like all the prisoners was like, nah, it's us against them.
Yeah,
you need to stand up for us.
Yeah.
So I did it. I got denied parole for that. So yeah, it was interesting, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? And I literally just thought I was going to be a prisoner the rest of my life, innit?
Yeah.
Because that's what I believed I was.
So how did you get into the mindset to turn that around? Because that's incredible. Because especially, I didn't realise how long you'd been inside. So a large part, I'm guessing, of you actually growing up and your formative years were in prison.
Well, I didn't until recently, to be fair, innit? Like, the last few years, if I'm honest, like, I've, like, always been about within my community how I do things, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? In Hackney. And I was always affiliated with certain people. So, yeah, it was hard to try and jump out of that. Do you know what I'm saying? Basically, I was talking to someone for a little while. I got close to their child. And that child helped me see that I could be a better person. You know what I'm saying? So I gave up the lifestyle that I was living. And, yeah, I tried to push into something different. And it would make, like, little, you know, like little videos on a tablet and stuff like that. Just little day-to-day things. And I just thought, oh, this is cool. Yeah, and then more recently, if I fast forward quickly, just to come back to this situation now, my friend... His name is Big Boss RG. He's a music producer, director from Hackney. Does all music videos. Basically, he phoned me up one morning, was like, do you want to be a police officer? So I was like, I don't look like a fed. You know what I'm saying? Then he's like, no, you're going to play a corrupt one.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, yeah, man can probably do that. So basically, I went there one morning, did it. And then, yeah, from there, I've just done loads more different things. Like, I worked with a guy called a company called Walk With, which is a Jamal Walker's production company. Worked with them, and also I worked with a lady called filmmaker Tash, who's just pushed me because they said I've got good look for camera. Yeah, I'm very distinctive, unique looking.
Yeah.
So yeah, since then I've done been a part of 3 short films, a drama series which is out on YouTube now called Grind Pains, and I've done about 17 music videos. And I've done all of that in like 8 months.
Lovely, man.
So you've been on the grind, basically.
Active.
So what, for you, I guess now you've got to start thinking about stuff like this. Like, what sort of roles is it that you want to do and get yourself into? Because I'm sure you've done so much now, you must have an idea of what it is you like doing.
Yeah, no, basically, at the moment, most of the roles I've played, which obviously tend to be the roles at the moment, are more what I'm about in it from what I was before. Do you know what I'm saying? So I've played more like drug dealing roles, gangster roles. Like, that's the stereotype that I'm falling into at the moment. I've been told by a lot of people that they want to give me challenges. Do you know what I'm saying? So they want to put me in situations that are out of my comfort zone and try and make me like expand more.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? Within my talent. So yeah, to be honest with you, I'm enjoying it. I like it. Do you know what I mean?
Because that would be definitely the career trajectory I'd want to see for you, in the sense that you don't want to just keep doing the same thing, because that then defeats the purpose and that becomes boring. But I think, yeah, it's good to hear that you want to do more challenging roles and take on different things.
Yeah, no, do you know what? To be honest with you, if I'm honest, the main reason I wanted to come on here today was because, like, when I was a kid growing up, I'd get bare people telling me, you do this, do that, do this, do that. But they don't know the situation I've come from. They read books and they think they know what my life's about. Do you get it?
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like a soldier who's never gone to war, but he reads a book. He ain't a soldier. Do you get it? So I wanted to try come on here today to let people know that even the kids, do you know what I'm saying? Like, because you've done bad things doesn't mean you can't change.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because everyone says, oh, I wish I did this, I wish I did that, I wish I did this, but they don't push themselves to do it.
Yeah. 100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I didn't believe I could do it myself until I pushed myself. And like I said, with the support around me and the people I've got around me, it's like Abby as well, sitting in the back. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I believe I can do a lot more positive things. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, like the future's like positive.
I agree. I think that's a really good thing that you've pointed at, because a lot of people don't think like that, or they think someone's done a bad thing, which means automatically makes them a bad person. Like, I can see you're a good-hearted brother. Like, I can see even if you have done bad things that have gotten you in particular situations, I don't think you're a bad person. I think that gets misconstrued a lot, and people automatically make snap judgment. And a lot of the people that would have been making decisions over your life are people who don't really haven't walked a mile in your shoes, even close. Like, that's the problem with a lot of the system that we have. It's a lot of people who are, who've never spent a minute around the people that they need to make decisions on, and they automatically form an opinion on us, or an opinion on the people that they're looking after. And it's very much to the detriment of the people they're supposed to be looking after. They put them in worse positions.
You know, they do, to be honest with you, innit? Like you just said there, innit? I heard someone say quite recently, innit? You can't judge me. Yeah, if you don't understand the decisions that led me to do what I actually ended up doing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because being in care wasn't a choice I made.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
very well said.
Being in foster homes and children's homes wasn't a choice that I made. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like, when I was 15, the government couldn't put me anywhere. So they put me in a crack house, like a crack hostel with all junkies and stuff like that, heroin addicts, when I was 15. Do you know what I'm saying to you? And that wasn't a choice that I made to go there.
Yeah.
Now that would be illegal to do that because it's under 16.
Yeah.
But at the time, I'd have to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get kicked out, and then I'd have to be back there before 7 o'clock in the evening. And if I wasn't there 7 o'clock in the evening, I'd have nowhere to sleep. So I'd have to sleep at train stations when I was like 15. So I was sleeping at London Euston train station, things like that, King's Cross, Hertfordshire, like Milton Keynes.
Yeah,
because I didn't have nowhere to live. Do you get it? And I was 15 at the time, so yeah, it was hard.
See, to me, that's even crazy. How can you put a 15-year-old is a child? How can you put someone like that in a predicament like that? That's crazy for decisions you haven't even made. That it's a shame, but the adults that should have been looking after you have failed you, and now you're suffering the consequences. And then it makes sense that people act surprised when people go down a certain road, like that you had no other choice. We're all just trying to survive at the end of the day.
100%.
And I get the sense that you were doing a lot of things in order to just survive. Like a 15-year-old having to sleep at Euston train station is insane to me.
Yeah, no, it was mad. It was mad. And it was cold.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna lie, it was cold. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? But like I said, innit, do you know what I'm saying? With the stuff that I've had to do, most of it, like, I ain't going to try to justify it.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because most of the things that I did was wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? Plain and white. And it was wrong, ain't it? Black and white. So it's, do you know what I mean? But in the situation I was in, I didn't really have a choice. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like, I needed to make money.
Yeah.
So I got involved in a lot of bad stuff to make money.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I hurt a lot of people to make money. Do you get it? So yeah, like, I'm not going to try to sit here and say, oh, because I was a kid and I didn't have this, that's a reason for why I did it. You get it? Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, times was different back then.
Just to go back to the time you were in your first home, what was, like, the whole procedure like to get you there? Because you said you went from the age of three. You were there.
Yeah. Basically, my mum put me and my sister and my brother into a foster home. And the next day, she come back, took my brother, left me and my sister. And then we ended up living with a Jamaican foster family. And to be honest with you, at first it was nice. Do you know what I'm saying? But then it turned out they were bullies. Like, they used to hit me. Like, if I didn't read the Bible right, like, they used to make me quote Psalms 23, all of that. If I didn't read it right, they would hit me like, you know, like a piece of wood. So I had scars in my back, from where they hit me with wood, they used to lock me and my sister in a room, and we weren't allowed to come out. We weren't allowed to eat food, nothing like that. Yeah, so it was like a bad situation, innit? And any time I told someone what was going on, they would be like, "No, we're like because they were religious. We were called liars, innit?
You know what I'm saying?
So I had to stay there. I was there until I was 12.
I can't believe how long they made you stay there as well. Mm. I think there's a lot of pain, or I'm guessing there would be a lot of pain that would come from a situation like that. Are you able to, do you find acting, I think the word I'm looking for is cathartic, because you can put that, you know, you can use those experiences and put them into the characters that you get?
Yeah, say that word again, sorry.
Cathartic?
Can you spell it?
Nah, no way. You're trying to trip me up there.
Yeah, no, back to what you just said, innit? Like, I just use my whole life experience to be honest with you, innit? Because, like, when I was on the roads, yeah, I had to be very bad. I'm not a bad guy, do you know what I'm saying? I'm a very nice guy. So I use, like, all these different situations, and I just say my whole life's been an act. You get it? So I've been acting since I was a kid. Do you know what I'm saying? I never went drama school or nothing like that. Like I said, innit, I just done what I did through the drive to do what I want to do and to obviously make myself have a purpose, because I don't want to die and then people just be like, "Oh, he was that criminal from Hackney." Do you know what I'm saying? I want to be something more. So yeah, like you just said, innit, I use like all my life experiences, which I say I've been an actor my whole life. Do you know what I'm saying? In jail, I was an actor. Like, do you get it? So yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, and I guess, how do you maneuver in those situations? Like, how do you survive, say, I guess, what would have been maybe one of the more tougher experiences for you? How do you survive prison so that you can get to a point where, once you do have your freedom, you're able to make the most of it?
What do you mean, like?
So, how were you able to get yourself through being in prison?
Oh no, prison was hard. I ain't gonna lie, I'm not gonna sit in front, innit? Prison was hard, innit? Like, when I was in prisons with other guys from Hackney or East, I was calm, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then when they threw me in the pit, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? And I'll go there with a bunch of South man, and there's like 100 South man, and they wanna beef with Hackney, I was in a problem. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it would get sticky. So yeah, it wasn't like a walk in the park. Like, I had fights in there, lost a couple, do you know what I'm saying? Won a couple, but I was more secure. You know, when I had my, people like go to jail, they come up with bare lies and they're like, I run this place.
Yeah.
But they didn't run nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? They just tell bare stories. Like, unless they're with 100 man or 10 man, they, do you get it? But yeah, what was the next thing you said?
No, it was just that you answered it basically. And I think it is, because obviously it's not it's interesting here because it's not an experience that I've had or been close to having, but it's just interesting to see how you managed to get through that experience.
Because
you hear a lot of people, like you said, they go through that situation and they're not honest about their experience inside. Yeah. I think a lot of people almost make it sound like it's a holiday almost.
Yeah, no, nowadays, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of like a holiday because they're getting PlayStations in there. So, like, when I was in jail, it was different. Like, it was 23-hour bang-up. Like, there was no plug sockets, no TVs. Like, you had to read a book. Like, you'd get a book. that was, like, before all the plug sockets come in. And then I remember when I was in Feltham, when they originally brought in, you know, the TV situation, they brought in portable TVs. So, like, if anyone's like watching this and knows, they brought in this thing and it had like a big battery pack, and the battery pack thing was bigger than the TV. Like, the TV was really tiny, do you know what I'm saying? And it would like run out halfway through the night. But what they used to do was they used to roll it between the cells, so they'd have four of them, and then say there was 38 cells, they would like say, right, so 1, 2, 3's got it on Monday, so this one's got it on Tuesday. And then that's how you'd get it. So you might have to wait a week before you got the TV back again.
That's crazy.
And because of them times there, they didn't really have TVs. Prison was a lot worse because if you had an argument with someone, you had no outlet. So you would sit there and think, right, when I come out tomorrow, I'm going to kill that guy. Because of the argument over, I don't know, it could have been like a roll, you know, like a roll from the lunch or something like that, or a game of table tennis. But with the TV situation now, you've got like an outlet, a release, innit?
Mm.
And you've got the PlayStations, whatnot. So you've got like a way to calm down, innit? Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Mm, so yeah, mm. Like I said, but when I was in prison as well, quickly, like I weren't one of them gym guys.
Mm.
Like I studied, innit? Like, cause I didn't go to school. When I went to prison, I couldn't read or write. So when I went to prison, I studied sociology, done my GCSEs in there. I done my English, computer, started taking up yoga. Yeah, for like a way like to calm myself down. And obviously the yoga teacher was nice, so that's why. That's another reason why I went there, because like, you don't see many females in there. So
You're a smart guy, I respect it.
The education thing was alright, and because when I was in there, my family didn't look after man, innit? I didn't have no money, but they used to pay you to go education. So you'd get like £7-8, nothing in it, but you get like £7-8 a week to go education.
Mm.
So I was going to education, and at the same time I was learning and learning more about myself.
Mm.
And that's when my sociology teacher said to me, there's a thing called a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm.
And that's what I started to believe that was happening to me. You know, when people tell you something, you believe it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a part of your life because that's what you believe. Do you get it? So,
I see. Okay.
With the like experience that you had, because that's actually quite sick, but the ability to actually kind of have some rehabilitation and have like a way to actually learn and like actually heal when you're in there.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You see the issues you had with people that actually like the other jailmates and that. Did you find that a bigger issue compared to the guards? Because I know you were saying like they used to have all like people fight and do all crazy stuff. Like, what was more of an issue for you when you were there? Because that's when you were telling us earlier before the pod, that sounded wild.
Yeah, to be honest with you, the problems was with both of them, innit? Because you know, like if a prison officer didn't like you, they'd get another prisoner to beat you up. Like I remember they had an argument with one guy. And basically, they told everyone that he was in there for offences against women, which he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I remember I see like 5 men go into the TV room, sit behind him, they put the pillowcase over his head, and then they got him with the batteries and a sock in it.
That's
and he
crazy.
Wasn't even in there for what they claimed he was in there for. They just done it because he was a loud prisoner and they couldn't contain him.
Mad.
So they got the prisoners to turn against him. Do you get it? So. Yeah, but I did have a lot of problems with prisoners as well, but it was morely like because it wasn't like it is now where, I don't know, you got this road fighting with this road, this road fighting with this road. Like, Hackney was Hackney.
Yeah.
You get it? So, like, or East London, when we went to prison, we all represented East. Do you know what I'm saying? Or they all represented South. So, yeah, you would have, like, problems if you was in a prison and you were from Hackney, and you had about 10 South, man. Do you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I think prison now is more like, a couple of my boys have been in recently, they've said, like, it's more like everyone's more united unless you've got, like, the beef. Do you get it? So, yeah, things have changed now.
It's good to hear. At least things inside, and hopefully people are having a better experience, and hopefully they're becoming more rehabilitated from it. Do you think having the time to sit down and actually, like, have to process everything that's happened, do you think that helped having an opportunity where you had to like focus on you really?
If I'm honest with you, like, Jimmy, to like be really honest,
yeah.
I don't think prison rehabilitated me though. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I'm honest with you, I don't think they do enough in there to help. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like I said, the biggest changes came more like over the last 5 years. And obviously, because like I said, everyone's got different life circumstances. Me, I didn't have nothing. Like, it was just me. And then like I said, innit, when I met this little boy who helped me change, do you know what I'm saying? That's what I think rehabilitated me, because it made me feel like I could actually look after someone, care for that person. Do you get it? So, like prison, it's just prison, innit? They just lock you up, let you come out, do your stuff. They don't mean they used to have like anger management courses they'll put you on, but people just done that to get early release.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Or do you know what I mean? Like, come at their cell. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like it was helping.
Yeah.
Like, even more recently, I come back from, when was it? It was like 2 years ago. I was coming back from East Sussex. And I got off the train, but I had to go through Ashford first in Kent. So now when I come off at King's Cross, like, everyone's coming off the train. I had my Hodel bag, my Moss Tracky on, shaved head. Got my gold teeth as well, like, literally tats. I'm walking, and then these two white guys jump on me. And I'm like, what's going on? They're like, you match the profile of what we've got to look out for. I said, what do you mean, bro? I said, I just got off a chain. Got a ticket. You know what I mean? And they was like, this county line thing. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You match the profile of a guy doing county lines. And I'm like, bro, there's a whole chain. 100 people got off. Yeah. Pick me. Yeah. I said, he's got a skinhead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they was like, then they pulled me over and they was like, oh, just checked, you was a bad boy back in the day. I'm like, what's that got to do with now? Do you know what I mean? And then he's like, I don't think you're a normal street runner. You look like more of like one of the bosses. So you look like you could be the phone controller or something like that. And I'm thinking, bro, but I haven't done anything. And then after they realised I didn't do nothing, they let me go. But it was the embarrassment of being pulled in the first place.
Yeah, 100%.
Because everyone's looking at me now. Even the ticket people afterwards was like, you're a dodgy guy. And I'm thinking, like, I ain't a dodgy guy, I've done nothing.
You haven't done anything.
Do you know what I'm saying? But that still happens. Don't get it twisted. Like, it happens. And then obviously, like, another time I was just chilling with my boys in a car. There was four of us. They stopped the car and they was like, because we were from different areas in Hackney, they was like, it was a gang meeting. And we was like, this is no gang meeting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes I get stopped. They call firearm police because obviously I went to jail for firearms and robberies and things like that. So sometimes if I get pulled by police, they still call firearm police just to come because they say I could have suspicion of that. I could have a firearm. And that's things that they still do now, even though it's, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that must be so frustrating for you because you work so hard to distance yourself from that certain members of society still put that over your head. I wouldn't want to be known for something that I did 10 years ago or judged for something I did 10 years ago.
Yeah,
100%. Like, that is insane that they still do those practices, really.
It is, like, if I want to change the topic quickly, I just talk about example. I posted up a TikTok video, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it went viral, yeah? And then I've got people saying to me, is this guy black? Is this guy white? Is this guy Pakistani? Is this guy this one? Is this guy that? And I'm thinking to myself, and obviously I want to retaliate, but Abby's like, don't retaliate.
Yeah, you got to leave them.
Just let them say what they got to say. But you know what? Like, that's what I've had my whole life. And then obviously, like, growing up with a Jamaican family, I have Jamaican traits that I do.
Yeah.
Because that's who I was raised by. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So I ain't trying to be black. But that's what how I was raised. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I'm not trying to be Pakistani because I ain't a Pakistani. I'm half Punjabi. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So, and what people don't get is the way you speak isn't defined by your skin colour.
Yeah.
It's defined by where you're from.
100%. Yeah.
Like, I know black guys that come from Essex. And they say, you're right, mate, you're right, geezer. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, are they trying to be white? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So the way you speak isn't it's not a skin colour.
It's just where you're from.
If I was walking around talking like patois and things like that, then people could say, okay, now he's trying to imitate. Do you get what I'm saying to you?
But it's like, no, this is where this is where I've been raised. But
I talk street. I do try and change it a little bit, but sometimes I find it hard to. Because
but you are who you are. You can't do anything about that. Like,
yeah, like when I go certain places, I do try to tone it down. But it's hard because that's how I was brought up in this area. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but I just wanted to highlight, how racism is bad, bro. Because literally, they've been going in on me.
What was going on in the TikTok? What were you doing?
They're going in on me. I made a TikTok of me having an argument with one of my actors.
Oh, okay.
But he's a police officer. And they're like, don't he know any other words apart from bruv? What is this guy black? Is he black? Is he white? This is why our country's broken.
No, but you know what it is?
No, I hate when they hit us with that.
Sometimes it's a case where, like, broken. Some people have lived in a place where they've lived in a time and an era where that never happened. Mm. So they're only stuck in that time where then,
yeah, but
when there's other people around the world, it's like, hold on a second. Like, for example, if you go to North London, you see white people who speak like they're from North London.
Yeah.
The moment you go to, the moment they go to Essex, it's like, oh, why are you talking black for?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, no, I'm from North London. What do you mean black? It's just how I speak.
Mm.
So I've even had conversations with people, well, they're from Southend, but I could see why they could have that sort of analogy. It's like, why are you talking black for? It's like, well, maybe because they're from North, or maybe because they're from London.
Mm. You know, okay, if you're from Cambridge and then you're walking around saying, fam, Wagwan, all of this, then I'd say, okay, you probably watched it too much on TV.
Yeah,
you don't
really
hear them talking like that.
Yeah.
And Cambridge ain't known for that. But when you're from like South, West, North, East, that's how everyone talks.
Yeah.
Because that's when everyone goes to school, that's how everyone speaks. You know what I'm saying to you? But yeah, that racism, like I just said, was mad, bruv. Like literally, they're getting on to me, like calling me Ali G, like, yeah, oh, like they're getting in. And you know what? The maddest thing about it is, it was all acting. It's an act. And they was like, ah, his acting skills must be poor. But you know what the maddest thing is? Bruv, it was freestyled on the spot. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was just me and a guy, so and we improv. Just thought we'd have some, yeah, we thought we'd have a little bit of banter. And I just posted it and it went viral.
Yeah.
It got like over 200,000 views.
When stuff like that happens, I think you just have to block out, you just have to block it out.
Yeah, no,
they don't know what they're talking about, really. And it's just people in their houses who have no idea what's going on. And to make those sort of comments, like, they don't know you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I black out all that stuff anyway. Mm. Them things there don't really faze me. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're not saying it to my face, I'm really not interested.
100%.
Because when we was in prison, we called them window warriors.
Mm.
And basically, that would be the
guy. That's a really nice term. Window warriors. Yeah. Like that. I want to use that.
Shouting out their window when they know you can't get to them.
Mm. Yeah.
You get it? Like, you might have like somebody on another wing and he's shouting across the exercise yard going, so blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I'm saying? But they know you're not going to bump into them.
I see.
Window warriors.
You know
I love
window warriors. Yeah, yeah.
But then when I'm looking at some of the accounts that are doing it, they've got no posts.
I do, but
I'm just leaving them doing what they want to do. Yeah, man.
It's just trolling, man. That's
like,
just
so many people. It's crazy how many people have hatred in their hearts just off rip. Just to create an account to hate is insane. And just to comment on someone who's just trying to, you know, show off their skills. And I'm sure the video was very good. And as you said, it was just banter. So I don't even know why they're taking it so seriously.
Yeah, it was like literally just a little bit of banter. It was me and one of my actors, like literally works with me still. Like, we just thought, you know what, I was waiting to go on set to do my video for Big Rinse.
Mm.
And basically we just thought, you know what, while I'm waiting to go on a video shoot for him, have a bit of banter. So we made something. Like, I made another one yesterday for A-Star, yeah? That one's gone viral as well. That's got like over, I think like 160k views since yesterday.
Oh, you're busy, boy. I love that.
I just think, you know what, while I got the access to do certain things,
I just do
other little things to try and just expand and obviously just have fun with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't take life too serious, because that's the worst thing to do, to be fair.
100%.
But onto the acting.
Go on.
How did it start? Like, when did it start? Not so much how, because you did touch on how it started, but when did it start for you?
Literally, it was back, like I said, when April, literally from there. But obviously, I was just doing music videos, and I didn't actually think it was going to do anything. I just didn't take it serious.
Yeah.
I just thought to myself, okay, I'm going on it. Like, obviously, I do take it serious, but I just thought to myself, okay, it's just music videos I'm going to be doing. I didn't think that I would branch into different types of things, you know what I'm saying? And like I said, my boy, Big Boss RG, big him up again, do you know what I'm saying? Because he loves them, he loves them little big up things. But yeah, like, he was the one that pushed me. Do you know what I'm saying? And then obviously, like I said, I've done loads of little different things since. And then when I jumped into Growing Pains, that's a little YouTube drama series that I'm doing at the moment with filmmaker Tash. When I jumped on that with her, that's when I started to take it serious, because I was thinking, like, you know what? Like, she met me, she gave me an opportunity, and I showed her that I can do this.
Yeah,
and that's when I thought, you know what, I'm an actor now.
You know what I'm saying?
Sick. And to be honest with you, people say, oh, but it's YouTube, it's short films, but it don't matter. It's still acting.
You have to get it how you can, especially in the early stages where you're at now. You've not even done it for a year and you've already done as many projects as you have. Like, you have to start somewhere and you have 100%. To get experience. I think that's the most important
and
thing.
And I never went drama school. I never done none of that. Do you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, and I'm always trying to bring through the youth.
Yeah.
So, like, I've got a little selective group of guys that are young. They're in their, like, 19, 20, 21, 22.
Yeah.
And I try and bring them as many projects as I can. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, oh, do you want to come on this? Do you want to come on that? To try and help them so they can see there's other options. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and I'm always looking for new people to bring on. So
100%. So you've done so many projects now at this point. I think in terms of music videos, how many is it now?
About 17.
17. So
probably more. To be honest, I lost count. I've done loads. I've been in Fredo's video.
Yeah.
I've done one for a rapper called K Lizzie, J1, J5. Now, I've done loads.
Yeah.
And which J5 first, video was it?
It was I Wish.
Oh, that's recent, the way with Libyanka one.
Yeah, I was in the funeral scene for that.
Oh, man.
I had to lay down the flowers on the grave.
Oh, man.
I had my sunglasses on and all that.
Sick.
Yeah, I've done...
That's cool.
I've done quite a lot. And at first, I was like, oh, I've done one, I've done two, I've done three, I've done four.
And you just stop counting after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your job now, so it's just, I guess you can't... There's no... You wouldn't count how many times you've been to work, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, at first, I was just excited, I was like, I've been in one music video, two music videos. Yeah. Now I'm just like, oh, it's a music video.
Yeah.
But, NSG. Oh, yeah, I've done NSG's one as well. That was the most recent one as well.
Sick.
So, yeah, I've done, yeah, I'm even forgetting some of the ones I've done. But at first, I was gassed. I was like, yeah. But now I'm helping my boy produce and direct as well. So,
cool. So you see, this is what I love, because you're even now branching into other spaces. Because for it sounds like if they need to get a production sorted for a particular music video, you'd be able to source potentially actors for them.
Yeah.
Or you, as you said, you've got your crew that you're trying to mobilize so that they can get opportunities as well. And then if you go into directing and production, you're gonna open so many doors for so many different people.
Yeah, no, yesterday example was another one where I've branched into this thing. I worked with a guy called, he's got a little production thing called Inner City Riders. And basically I helped yesterday with the actors, getting them on set, things like that. So yeah, I'm branching into different types of things. Like, if you want anything, I can plug it.
Yeah.
Me and my boy, that's his motto. He can plug anything you want in the music game. So yeah, like, anything you want, we can get that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I'm trying to utilize. I use the same terminology for the roads that I do for this thing, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, hustle hard.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, the same motivation and drive I had for the roads, I've got in this thing now, innit? I treat them the same. Loyalty, respect. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man.
No, I respect that. And in terms of experiences on music videos, because I imagine it's very different to when you've done a short film. What's the day like on a music video? Because obviously I've never been on one, but it's always intrigued me the amount of effort that would go into a music video.
Are you? Because it always ends up as 3 minutes. We don't know the whole extent.
It's a whole day. It's a couple days.
No. It goes on for ages. Like, I've done some, like, the J1 video shoot. No, J5. That was like a big production. We turn up. We had to sit around for ages. Then we had the makeup lady come. She done her makeup. You know, not on me, because she said I've got good skin, you know what I mean? But she was like, you don't need to lighten up. But yeah, she was going around putting makeup on everybody. Do you know what I'm saying? Then we had to obviously just wait around, and then we got told the specific things each of us had to do. Then, do you know what I'm saying? It was just like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Then there's other projects where I've been on that, like, you go there and nothing runs on time in filming. Like, if you film, like, you know this, innit? Like, nothing runs on time. So always expect, when you say we want an actor for 2 hours, 3 hours, you're going to be there for a lot longer. You know what I'm saying? Because you're retaking from different angles. So you're doing the same thing from all different angles. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it's all right. Do you know what I'm saying? But obviously, when you're directing, it's a lot different. You turn up, you're waiting around, setting things up. Like, when I had to do a video in Homerton, I can't remember who it was, what his name was now, but we literally had to make the trap yard.
Right.
So basically, me and my boy RG, Big Boss RG, we turn up. We literally laying out all the foundations for the trap. So, frying the newspaper down, making it look very trappy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like throwing cigarettes here, cigarettes there, beer cans here. So we had to do a lot for that. Like turn up early, just wait around. Then we got to wait for the artist. Then they got to do their lines. So yeah, man. It's a lot of work, innit? People think, oh, it's only 3 minutes.
But that's what's it. You don't think how much work goes into it because you just think it's so short. How much production can go into it? But especially now where people are trying to do a lot with so little, because not everyone's got these big budgets.
Yeah, no, we're on set for like 8 hours. More time. 8 hours. I did a shoot for K Lizzie. That was in Nottingham. We'd filmed that. And literally, my scene was probably taking like about 2 hours.
Right.
But then they fit into like 3 minutes. And you see like a couple of clips of me. And I was a police officer in the interrogation room. So yeah, like people were like, why am I doing so much? Because I'm only in the thing for so little, innit? But you've got to do so much because you've got to take the best takes.
Yeah.
So they look at the best angle, the best take. And
I can understand that, yeah.
Is that the most jarring element to it?
No, to be honest, I find it fun. I like to turn up early. Like I turn up to shoots early. Like I like it. I like being around it, and I like the energy. I like watching a lot of the creativity from the guys on set, making friends with people, which I've done a lot.
Yeah,
on a lot of the sets I've gone on, I've made a lot of friends. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I like to turn up early. Like the video shoot I done yesterday, I didn't start till 1:30. I was there at 12:30. I'm never late.
Yeah.
I'm always on time. Sometimes, yeah, I'm old. Yeah, everyone's like, that's probably my worst quality because everyone says they like people that are late because they're always running late.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But I like to be early, so yeah. I like to get a feel for the grind and things like that, man.
No, I hear that. So far, what's been your favourite project that you've worked on?
There's been a lot, but to be honest with you, I'd say Grind Pains. Because, yeah, it was like working with a good cast of people. Like we got Bushkin from the Heartless crew in that. So yeah, sick. It was like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how me and Abby met.
Oh no way.
Yeah, she had to come along. She had to be my on-screen girlfriend for that.
Oh, okay. Now that turned into real life.
And then it turned into real life. Yeah. So,
that's sweet.
Yeah, Grind Pains has probably been the best one, to be fair, because I've got loads of different scenes in that, in different types of situations. Like I've got guns put to my head, I've got police raiding my house. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was a fun project to be a part of, to be fair.
Would you do more like long form stuff in the future, like more film, more TV, like bigger projects?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm doing at the moment. So I'm building up a portfolio, innit? I said, I haven't been acting school, so I'm doing it my way.
Yeah, 100%.
And with the people around me, I believe I can do a lot more different things. And like I say to people, I don't mind if I did it just for a year and it didn't go nowhere. At least I can sit back and say, you know what, I tried something.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, they come with negative energy and they're like, you're too old, you're this, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. And I'm like, bro, but I'm trying. Like, what are you doing? You're not doing nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? But you're my critic.
That's the exact attitude you have to have. You have to block out the noise.
More so, I mean, you are a success.
Yeah. 100%.
Because a lot of people, I mean, they might do it, but then nothing comes into fruition. But the fact that you're doing it and it's there and it's present, it's like,
yeah, no, come on.
And
come
the stuff on. You're doing, it can be seen as well. Like these aren't small videos. Like a J5 video is a big deal. Yeah. Like you can't gloss over that. So the fact that you've already got something of that level on your CV, you're ahead of a lot of people. But you're ahead of a lot of people because you tried and you didn't let people's opinions put you down or just deter you from doing what you wanted to do, which I think is really important. So say if I think it'll work out, what sort of roles would you want to do going forward? Like I don't know how much you watch films, but like, what's something you'd be like, oh, do you know what? That's something I would want to do.
Do you know what? I wanted to be in Top Boy, to be fair. But do you know what? I thought Top Boy's ending was pretty rubbish, to be fair.
Oh, like, yeah,
we agree with you on that.
I thought after all the previous seasons, but no, to be honest with you, I don't know, innit? I just want to do something that's different to who I am. Do you know what I'm saying? And just play a different character. Like, I watch a lot of films, do you know what I mean? Like, I've watched Godfather. I like all them old gangster films. I like romance films.
I don't know, it could be something romantic. Hey, try, I struggle with that, so yeah, like try something like that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I believe I can do a lot of different things, innit? Like I said, I'm like a chameleon in life, innit? You know what I mean? I can blend into different situations and always feel comfortable. So yeah, I don't think there's anything that would be too challenging, to be honest with you. Obviously learning scripts is hard. You know what I'm saying? Obviously I'm dyslexic, so learning scripts is hard, but I've done it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I just want to keep pushing myself, to be honest.
Yeah, have to. I think you're a real testament to what hard work can do. Just a lot of people I feel maybe who'd been in your position would have let their past get to them. But I really admire the fact that you've overcome your issues and your past, and you worked through it, and now you're in this position where you're in these music videos, you're in these short films, and you want more. A lot of people might just be okay with where they're at, but I don't see that in you. I see you wanting an Oscar.
Don't get it twisted. I'm not going to come on here and just let in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I do find it difficult. Like I even said to Abby, like, I used to make $2,000 a day. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so I do sometimes wake up in the morning and think to myself, like, I could just go make $2,000. But then I think to myself, you know what? All the progress I've made, lose it.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it.
Not at all.
So now I have to try and live within my limitations. But do you know what I mean? It is hard when you come from a lifestyle where you're making money. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Going to this place, making this, having this. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't drive, but I had drivers on tap. Do you know what I'm saying? Now I don't have that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I had money. I could buy trainers. I could buy designer clothes. I could buy this. I could buy that. I could do what I wanted. Do you know what I'm saying? So sometimes it's hard, innit? I do fight with my demons, innit? Like, I wake up in the morning, I think, oh. Do you know what I mean? But then, yeah, like, I've got my cousin's name tattooed on my arm, innit? Because obviously she died when I was in prison. So, yeah, thank you. So I look at that sometimes and I think to myself, I can't just give up.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? But I can understand why people do. Because they might not have the same support network that I do, or the same group of friends that I do.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, they don't have that. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's why I'm always willing, if I find someone that wants to try and give it a shot, I'll bring them onto a set for a music video and give them an opportunity. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm always looking for new people, man.
I think that's so impressive. Really well done to you as well for recognizing, because I didn't even think of that.
Well done, man.
100%.
Because I've got my hat on and I'm thinking, oh, he's done so well. But well done for recognizing, you know, you have a support system that is able to do that for you, but certain people don't have that in place. And because of that, they'd struggle to get to the positions where you've been. And it, you know, it's a testament to, I think, all of us in this room, that we've got people around us who want the best for us and want to see us do the best we can.
Yeah, no, the maddest thing about it is the support network that I have around me ain't even family. Like, they're my friends who are now my family.
Yeah,
like, my family just turned their back on me, innit? So, and left me. Do you know what I'm saying? So my friends, who are my family, do you know what I'm saying? Like, blood doesn't make you family, and it's the people around you, do you get it? So, and the people that continue to be there for you, do you get it?
Well, that's the thing, and I always look at it as friends of the family you get to choose.
Yeah.
Like, I look at these guys as my brothers.
Yeah, 100.
Not from the same mum or dad, but we've all grown up together. We've had the same life experiences. We probably have more of the same life experiences than people I'm actually related to. So, I think that is a very good way of looking at it, and that's how you should approach, especially where you've come from. Your friends, I'm sure they must mean the world to you, because those are the people that chose to stick around.
Yeah, now one of them, quickly, innit, basically, innit, he's my he's like my brother, innit. Basically his name's Drew, innit. Basically, when I was in prison, he was my cold D. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he was there with me. And when I got convicted for the last sentence that I done, which was the 5, they turned around and even said to him, like, if you just blame it all on Jamie, we let you go home.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And then I even said to him in Snaresbrook, yeah, Crown Court, I was like, bro, so just throw it on me, innit? Because I've got it anyway. Yeah. So it's not going to get no worse for me.
Yeah.
Just throw it on me and go home, innit? And he was like, nah.
He was like,
I'm gonna come with you, innit? Because he was like, I'm always been the moneymaker. And he was the fighter. So he was like, I'm going to come with you, and I've got you, innit? Do you know what I'm saying? So he came with me, innit? He got the 5 and he just come with me, innit?
Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? Five as well.
Yeah, and he could have just threw it all on me. Do you know what I'm saying? And
so
he,
would you have done 10?
No. I would have still got the 5.
Oh,
wow.
So I was willing to take the blame all myself because it was me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything was my idea. It wasn't him. Do you know what I'm saying? And he only come to always make sure he had my back covered, innit?
Mm.
You get me? So
that's lovely.
Yeah, he could have gone home. Like, even the other day we were talking about it. He was like, you remember I had that? You had you get it? Like, he could have gone home. I offered him the opportunity and he denied the opportunity and came with
that's
me.
Crazy.
Some managers built like different, like that level of loyalty is...
Yeah, you ain't going to find that from many people.
You can't buy that.
Do you know what I'm saying? And we've done bare bad things to each other. Like, tons of bad things. But he's still like, we're still brothers, you get it? Do you know what I'm saying? I still talk to him every day. And like, we're still family, do you know what I'm saying? Even though we've done mad stuff. So, yeah, man, it is like... And then I've got family that I don't like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. And just because you're family, you're my family, but I don't like you.
Yeah. So, 100%, I hear it. I guess my question to you is, what... Going forward, what do you want from, I guess, not even just because we spoke about everything, it's not just your acting right now, but what do you see for yourself in the future and going forward?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Firstly, innit, I was thinking about that. There's more projects I want to do with regards to kids, innit? I want to try and speak to a couple of people and, go to like places and try and give advice to the kids.
Because
obviously, I believe I can have more in common with them. A lot of the people that are youth workers, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to try and do things like that in the future. I also wanted to try and eventually, I don't know, try and start an acting company and then like have my own actors on the books. I wanted to do more within the music, directing and producing. So there's like loads of different things I want to do, do you know what I'm saying? Like that I believe I can do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's not even just the one thing.
Yeah.
There's like about 6-7 things I want to try to do. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm determined to do them all.
As you should be.
You know I'm sure you'll accomplish all of them. 100%.
And God willing, and I'll do whatever I've got to do because I ain't stopping. And like I said, I'm going to use the same drive. When I used to go on the roads in the snow. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't drive. So I was walking through the snow, through the pouring rain. Do you know what I'm saying? Doing all my mad stuff. Do you know what I mean? So if I could do that, do you know what I'm saying? I can easily do this.
100%. I think that is...
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.
18+. Perfect. And the determination that's needed to, I guess, take that next step. And I think someone like you is so important. And I like that you have a real desire to not only just do it for yourself, because I think that's the attitude a lot of people will have. And you'd be right to do that. But there seems to be with you a real want to help the next generation as well. And being able to be someone that can actually chat to them on a level, because at the moment they don't really have that. Or there's not like, I don't feel like a lot of positive role models who've been through what they could possibly go through and be like, listen, I went through this. This could be you, but you can turn your situation around
100%.
And also give them opportunities. Because I feel like a lot of men are just chatting in their ear, but okay, what are you going to do for me? At least if you have your company, you can say, listen, this is another option. It doesn't have to be the road.
Yeah, no, come on. That's what a lot of people do, innit? Where they whisper, innit? They're like the devil, innit? They whisper in the ear and they're like, come country me. I'll pay you like £300 a week, £400 a week, £500 a week. Do you know what I'm saying? Come country. Do you know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, it's not worth it because you can go country for one day. Like when I used to go country, like I've been everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying? Obviously, like you can go there. Like I went places. I was there for like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. Then I've decided to leave there and go somewhere else. But then you've got people that go there for a day. They go there for one day, they get nicked. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they don't even get paid. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they go bin, the guy that sent them there in the first place ain't giving them money.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying? So when you're doing this 5 to 6, do you know what I'm saying? they just cut you dead. Mm. Then they go on to the next person. So yeah, to be honest with you, it isn't, I wouldn't say it's worth it. Like,
no.
I've done it all. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think there's anything that I really haven't done.
Mm.
Do you get it? So, and I'll just say none of it's worth it, to be honest with you.
I hear it. I think, yeah, that's, we need people like you to be able to tell them that. Because even if I was to say it, it's not gonna be authentic, because I've not lived that life. I've not been in the situations that they've had to be in order to survive. Whereas if it comes from you, it's more authentic, and you're also giving them potentially, you're an example of a way out, and you can give them opportunities to get out as well, which I think is so important.
Yeah, no, it is. Everyone needs that, innit? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, everyone needs that person that's willing to help them, innit?
Yeah.
And help them without an ulterior motive.
100%.
Oh, another thing, you can do consulting as well.
Yeah, never thought of that. Yeah,
but yeah, because the thing is, you've come from it. You know exactly what it's about. Because the only reason why I'm thinking about that is because of Dame Dash. And he was always speaking about one of his older guys. And he was saying that he was there. He invited his older guys for consulting. Mm. And what ended up happening is that he was so good that he ended up being part of the main film and everything like that. But for you, you could be that's not legit. That's legit. Because some things that we've seen on Top Boy, I mean, of course, Kano and Asha D, they know exactly what's happened on Rhodes and they can speak to it. But from the aspect of story writing, story building, making something like a series or a film, you could turn around and say, that's not real, that's real, that's real.
I didn't think about that.
You
yeah.
can add you this know, into it.
I did. Basically, there's a film. It's called We Are Monster. It's based on film. I think Noel Clark was involved in making it.
Mm.
Something like that. And it's based on me with my brethren. But basically, it's not about me.
Yeah.
One of the scenes is about me.
Mm. Right, yeah. I see.
And basically, it was based on my friend's murder when he got killed in a Felton prison. And I messaged them and said, this don't look legit.
Mm.
And he's like, we didn't get any like proof from people that were there. Yeah. They just went off the court manuscript.
Mm.
Mm.
And I said, how can you base a film and call it a true story off of paper?
Because
you've got no actual visual person telling you this is what happened.
Yeah.
You're just going off of what you saw online and you've made a film. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And it won an award, I think, at the film festival, everything, but it was based on nonsense.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And it also, from my point of view, it made you feel sorry for the killer instead of my brethren who got killed.
Wow. Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, the guy was a neo-Nazi prisoner and he killed my friend in his sleep with a table leg, battered him to death. Do you know what I'm saying? And I feel it makes you feel sorry for the guy because it talks about him being abused and stuff he went through as a kid. But it doesn't talk about what Zaid went through.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It doesn't talk about Zaid at all. It just, you know what I mean? He gets killed. And I feel that the film, and then I reached out to them and was like, this film's nonsense, man. Do you know what I'm saying? And then the prisoner that was meant to be me, because before he got killed, I asked for his radio because I always borrowed his radio and he was about to go home as well, innit? Because he was only in there for two, three months for a driving offence.
Yeah.
And the prison they got to play me was a Pakistani prisoner. I'm not Pakistani, do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. And I also look more white, do you know what I'm saying, than anything. So, yeah, I was offended by the film, to be fair, do you know what I'm saying? And I messaged them. But what you said, I can do
that.
That's
important, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because I can say, like, that's legit, that's not legit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So,
because sometimes you see things on TV and it's talking about things we have an understanding of, and it's like, it wouldn't go down like that. That's just not 100%. How it would happen. So I think roles like that, I didn't even think, when you said consultant at first, I was like, what does that mean?
What type of landed the plane really well there. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, what kind of consultancy is this guy? No, but that is legit. Yeah. For real, that is legit. Like, there's scenes in that Top Boy,
so
like,
necessary.
I'm talking about squeezing off on a man and all types of nonsense. And it's like, this doesn't, we don't speak like that. And B, this scene probably won't play out the way it plays out, you know? And it needs somebody who's seen it or done it.
No, you see that scene, it didn't make no sense, because it was just like, they were both calm and he just started yelling. And it was like, hold on a second, I don't know where this energy is coming from. It didn't make sense to me. And I know it won't make any sense to anybody else who does actually road. Like, the way they will groom a young guy into that, there is a whole process. So, like, they squeezed maybe few weeks, 3 months, maybe into 5 minutes, and he just
the guy that wrote Top Boy was white, innit?
I can believe that,
but the thing is, he was, well, from Summer House, he was writing from an aspect of, like, it was a beautiful story.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? You know, but then when it came to the Netflix series, I think it was just heightened.
I think the original Top Boy was good.
Yeah.
You know, like the original team.
Yeah.
And then obviously the newer stuff, I didn't really rate it. Obviously, I did like the one with Jamie in it.
Mm. Yeah, season one was cold.
Yeah, that was hard. I liked it. They should have played more with him in it.
Killing Jamie was a huge mistake.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, like, I do think it was a bit like, it reminded me of more like, you know, like Gangs of London.
It's
not real.
Yeah, it's larger than life.
Yeah, it's not real.
That was my issue, like things like power and that. Like, this is ridiculous now.
Fucking,
100%. They're letting off shots in the old people's home. What the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, no, that didn't make sense.
That was insane.
Yeah, that didn't make sense. And no one's getting bagged. They're just
that's it. You can't commit many felonies.
If I was to go Homerton Hospital now, like the hospital, and start letting off shots or something like that, or an old people's home, I'm gonna be bagged before I even get around the corner. You've got to remember, London is the most watched capital in the world.
CCTV everywhere.
Like, they've got it everywhere, like tower blocks, roofs of tower blocks. Mm. Like where I live, they got about 10 cameras on a tower block roof that's watching the whole area.
Yeah.
Like, you can't move without being seen on a camera.
You are very known.
I don't get how you're killing all these people and doing all this mad stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. No one's getting bagged.
I completely forgot about that scene when they start fighting in the hospital in season one. And that's just...
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of allow for it because you have to let them make the TV show and it has to somewhat be larger than life. But when things are just silly, it does take you out the scene.
But that's what sells, though. Like, people are only interested in, like, you know, like the gang violence and things like that. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Where instead of trying to encourage people with more positivity, like they fill you with the negativity. Yeah. That's what sells.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I think that's what I want for us more going forward. I want more stories where it doesn't have to revolve around that sort of life, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You see the growing pains thing that I'm in at the moment, basically with this lady filmmaker Tash, like, she's trying to portray things from a different point of view. You might have drug dealing in there, but that's an aspect of life, isn't it? But then you've also got stories from all different types of people, so it's not just my story, because I play Kane in that. It's not just my story, like, you've got different aspects from different things that she's trying to portray, which doesn't shed just a bad light on 100%. People, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it is good. But people, like, they like the, I don't know, you run it into it. You run into, like, with Gangs of London, you got, I think he's Albanian.
Mm.
He's in a hotel room with these 3 Nigerian guys, 4 Nigerian guys. They got him. And all of a sudden, he does some ninjutsu, bro. He kills them all.
He takes
them all out. And I'm thinking, this ain't real.
Yeah.
Like, he would have got, like, all it takes is just one person to slash him and kill him. It. But he manages to kill them all and get out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And it's ridiculous.
I think that's what we want more from our media, that's telling our stories, or not necessarily our stories, but telling stories of people that look like us and speak like us, is just want some authenticity. Because I remember one of the best things about when I lived in South was the community. You don't get that. Everyone, it's a melting pot and everyone's together. There is a sense of togetherness. And when I moved to Essex, you lose that. Because there was more of an individualism that I'd never seen. Right. And that should be showcased in our projects. That is more, that's something that London's actually quite good at, in the sense that people, there's a real togetherness that other areas don't have, but that's not seen. It'd rather focus or highlight the elements that they know will get people's attention and sell.
Yeah, and it's all the negative stuff, though, that does sell, like I said, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? Like, trying to speak positive things, do you know what I mean? Like, my friend at the moment, he's got a book which is called Prisoners of the Streets, and it's based on Hackney. His name's Robin Travis, and he's, like, made a film which he's going to try to do soon, and it's based on Hackney. But what he's trying to do is, he's not trying to do, you know, all this negative. He's saying that none of us are a gang, do you know what I'm saying? Because you can't leave one gang and go to another gang. You get killed for that. In America, that's what you get killed for.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, can you leave a blood and go to a Crip?
you know, they won't accept you.
Nah, yeah. No way.
Do you know what I'm saying? Or can you can't leave one of their Mexican gangs and then join another Mexican gang. It don't work like that. Do you know what I'm saying to you? But in this country, you leave one gang, you walk into another gang. They give you cuddles and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Welcome you with open arms. That's not a gang.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? That what he's trying to show people is that's just kids growing up and maturing. Right. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So when his thing comes out, like, that'll be good. And if you ain't seen the book, I don't know, he's got audio copies. Have a look, because he's literally talking from a different point of view, which he's trying to get out there, which, eventually should drop. So, that'll be good.
Perfect.
Nice one.
Do you have anything to close off on?
Nah, man. No. That was a good conversation.
Good conversation, of course, man.
Your heart is brother as well. I love that.
Yeah.
Good. So the way we end the show is we select a song that we're listening to. So you can just pick your favourite song at the moment. It's called Dem Atty Playlist. So if you have a song off the top of your head that you want to share with the people.
A song?
Yeah.
What, a song on what? My phone?
Yeah, Spotify or anything.
I don't know what song.
I'm going to pick UK Rap by Dave and Central C.
You
got to
say Ambush, haven't you?
No, not Ambush. Oh, I want to say Ambush. I'd say that. I'll say that Murder Side thing, isn't it? With A Star in it.
Murder Side. Yeah, that sounds hard.
Because you've had the remix on that, innit? With like Paper on that RM and the stuff like that. I think that one, to be fair.
That song's hard. He's locked up at the moment, isn't he?
What?
I think the guy who made the song.
Yeah. Oh.
Song's hard though.
No,
the guy's clearly talented.
Yeah, very.
Very hard.
I really. Nah, he did his job on that.
I'm gonna pick Evil Ways, Drake and J. Cole. Good song.
I listened to that today.
What's that?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a Christian song, actually.
Change up the vibes.
He's riding for the Lord.
What?
whose song is this?
I don't know how to say the name. Kiaja.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's riding for the Lord.
Yeah, it's you riding for the Lord.
Okay.
I really liked it. I was just like, oh, okay, this is a funny song, but like it's lyrics.
Alright.
Like, yeah.
Main Shuffle Podcast episode 217.
217.
217.
Jamie, thank you so much for coming on, man. It's been real.
Where can the people catch you? Yes. On Insta, thank socials, you. TikTok.
Yeah, I got my Instagram. I'm not sure. No, I changed the name the other day. My TikTok is JamieJB82.
Mm-hmm.
And my Instagram has now been changed. I've made it more unique. It's JamieJB_256.
Okay.
Lovely.
So, yeah, I needed to try and make it more unique. But, yeah, I've got that. The TikTok's doing all right, though. That's gone viral. That's like over 130,000 views since yesterday.
Nice, watching out for that then. Love that. Okay, Main Shuffle Podcast episode 217. We out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.